like to turn you now to the Word of God as it is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. The Old Testament book of the Proverbs, chapter 4. And this is what we read. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And may the Lord bless to us and grant us each one an understanding of his own most holy word. Amen. As we are currently between our series of ministry on different subjects or themes, I should like again tonight to preach a sermon upon an isolated text of Scripture. And the portion to which I would direct your attention particularly this evening is that which we read in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, words which are perhaps well known to us and which we frequently quote in relation to the Christian life. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, those of you who have been here any length of time might recall that we made a study of the whole book of Proverbs previously. I was somewhat amazed to see it was 8 years ago that we came through this portion of God's Word. But you might remember that largely because of the nature of the book of Proverbs, that many of these verses stand in isolation, but there are common themes or subjects between them. We made our study rather more topical through the book of Proverbs and did not study each verse individually. And so I feel that there is certainly room and opportunity for us to give a little more attention this evening to these words in Proverbs 4, verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, and to see what it means and what it teaches us concerning the Christian life and the nature of it. Now, before we consider the content of that verse in particular, it is perhaps right that we should set it in the context of this fourth chapter of Proverbs, where you will perhaps have noticed, as we read through it, that the notion of a path to walk in is mentioned in various different verses. And in the earlier part of this chapter, you perhaps noted how that wisdom is personified and is given female pronouns. We are told to seek and to desire wisdom, not just a mere human learning or academic attainments, but more particularly the wisdom of which Scripture speaks, that is to say, the knowledge of God and a knowledge of the Word of God. And the inspired writer of these Proverbs addresses us as though we were his children, as though he were instructing us as a father. He tells us in verse 10 to heed to his sayings, and in verse 11 says that he has or is indeed teaching us here of the way of wisdom and leading us into right paths. He is telling us of the existence of certain paths or ways through this present life, and of the importance of being directed to the right one. And indeed, in verse 12, we are told that if we are to find that right path and if we are to set out upon it, we shall find that when we go in it, our steps shall not be straightened. That is to say, we shall not come to some sort of a cul-de-sac or to a dead end, and that when we run in that way, as we make progress along it, we shall not stumble or fall or depart from it if it be the right way. However, this is not the only way which is spoken of in Proverbs chapter 4. You will notice that a contrast is also provided in verse 14, where we are told of the path of the wicked. We are told of those alternative ways, those wrong ways, which are presented to us, the ways which, alas, are much busier and more heavily populated, and in which the vast majority of humanity is to be found. And the cautionary note of this chapter is that we should not enter in at those ways, but rather we should avoid them, we should pass not by them, we should turn from them and pass away, because this is no root nor cause to desire, and it shall not by any means bring us unto God. The way of the wicked, says verse 19, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It is a tortuous path indeed. It leads every which way, and there are any manner of perils and pitfalls and stumbling blocks in the way of the wicked, could they but see them. And thus the fourth chapter ends by instructing us to consider which way we are in and to consider the course that we are taking. We are told to keep our hearts with all diligence in verse 23, and more particularly to our subject in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. This is the context then of the text which is before us, verse 18. But I should like us to zoom in upon it more particularly and to narrow down our attentions to the content of this 18th verse, which speaks of the Christian life, which speaks of the course which God's believing people are to take in this present world. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And whilst that is but a short verse, it is packed full of meaning and instruction. And with the Lord's help this evening, I should like to point out to you six features of this path of the just, which are expressed in this verse. And the first and perhaps most fundamental thing for us to register is this, that there is a path. That there is a path. That there is a way. And you see, that truth, my friend, speaks to us of the sovereignty of Almighty God. It speaks to us of his works and his dealings with us. Now, ordinarily, we know what a path is if we are going to speak about the human equivalent. We are going to speak of the practical equivalent. A path or a way is that which is decreed for persons to pass to and fro on. If perhaps we enjoy walking in the local area, one of the surest and safest ways to do it is to obtain a suitable map or an ordnance survey map, and we can look upon it and we can see the marked ways. We can see the appointed routes where it is permissible to walk. And we can then go out and seek these ways, and we might expect to find that they commence with some sort of a gate or of a stile, and that there will be some evidence that there is a track for us to follow, whatever the surface of it might be like, and we say, well, yes, here is a way. It was previously in existence, it is appointed as a way, and we henceforth are going to walk in it. Well, you see, my friends, the same is true spiritually speaking. God has already decreed a way. He has appointed a course. And it is true that the sovereignty of God extends to everything and to everyone, whether they accept or acknowledge it or not. But very particularly in relation to his own people, God has appointed for them, he has appointed for us a way. Nothing that happens in our lives is haphazard. Nothing is decreed or determined by chance or fate or luck or fortune or any such thing. God is sovereign. God has decreed all things. God has foreordained all things. And particularly the course which we as his people are to take. And there are so many verses of scripture that bear this out. You will recall how that Job, particularly the book which bears his name, describes the very checkered course which he had through life and the various trials and adversities which he faced. But he was able to say, through the uncertainty and difficulty of it all concerning God, he knoweth the way that I take. He said, God knoweth the way. God is fully aware and acquainted of all that lies before me, not only in the present but also in the future, because God it is who has decreed and appointed it. And likewise, he says in another place that the Lord hath appointed many such things for me. All the events and circumstances of our lives are appointed and decreed by Almighty God. There is a path already. We don't know it. We don't perceive it. Mercifully, God conceals those things from our knowledge or sight. Yet the reality of the matter is this, my friends, that there is a path. There is a way of God's appointing. There is a course or a route which he himself hath already decreed. And very particularly so in the case of his own people. There is a path decreed for you and I, fellow Christian, which God hath appointed, which God hath made, which he has already marked out, as it were, in the map book of our life's history, and which we are on this evening already. He is sovereign. He hath made this way, this path. So that's the first thing for us to register from our text, that there is a path. But secondly, will you notice that this path has a name? We're perhaps familiar with this as well in the practical equivalent, that certain well-known routes or courses, certain of these popular footpaths in the local area, at least, are given names. Now, the Southwest Coast Path and the Tarka Trail and this sort of thing. Well, you notice that the name, this path that is before us in our text of Proverbs 4, verse 18, is given a name. And the name which it is given is this. It is called the Path of the Just. The Path of the Just. And we might say, well, what does this tell us? And what is really indicated by this word just? Well, my friends, we know that to be just is essentially a legal term. It speaks of being in the clear relative to a legal code. It speaks of a system of justice against which a person is declared to be innocent, is declared to be clear, is declared to have made and met all the requirements of that particular system of justice. And you see, this term is being used here to speak of God's people, to speak of Christians. And this is very important for us to register and understand. You see, this path is not called the way to become just. It is not described as the way to achieve a condition of being just in the sight of God. This is not describing how we are to win the favor of God or to attain to salvation. It is called the way of the just. You see, those who are set upon this way by the sovereignty of God are those whom he is pleased to save and those whom he makes just by his saving power. Now, my friends, in relation to that wonderful work of salvation, which God is pleased to do for those whom he calls, for those whom he saves, we know that part of that glorious process of salvation is this, that God makes his people just in his own sight. That is to say, he addresses their sins. He deals with the fundamental problem of our pre-existing guiltiness. He deals with that ongoing problem of our human weakness and tendency to sin. He deals with that fundamental problem that we have not been what his law requires us to be and have not rendered the righteousness which his law requires. These things would be fundamental problems. These things we could never remedy ourselves or resolve ourselves by our own power. But God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has prepared and provided a way for us to be made just, to be transformed, to be converted in his sight into those who are clear by the terms of his law, that God might be just, Romans 3 tells us, and the justifier of them who believe in Jesus. You see, God is pleased to impute righteousness unto us and to make us just in his sight. And that is his work. And that is something which he does and which he accomplishes and which is immediately applied to those who come unto him by faith. It is his free gift. It is his work of grace. You see, the persons who are here portrayed as being upon this path are the just. They are that already. They are that by a work of God's grace and by a work of God's power. The proverb is not here telling us that there is some system of works that must be followed, some code that has to be labored at for a person to win the favor of God or to somehow attain or secure their own salvation. No, my friends, God, by his power, is able to make a person just in his sight and to set them upon this way. So it is called the path of the just because those who are upon this path are made just by the sovereign power and by the grace of God. But we might say that it is also called the path of the just because they and they alone are to be found upon it. You see, my friends, there is no one else to be found upon this way or upon this course of God's appointing than those who are truly saved. You see, plenty there are in the world who like to give a semblance, perhaps, of conformity to Christian religion, who perhaps go through the outward motions of the Christian faith, who like to maintain a certain standard of morality or uprightness in this present life, but have no true faith in God, have not known his salvation, have not believed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving of their souls. And to an external observer, perhaps, and to all outward appearances, they might seem to be almost upon that way, and might seem to be very close to being what Christians seem to be. And yet they are not. They are not on this path which is spoken of, this path which is spoken of singularly, this path which is spoken of with the definitive article, the path of the just. They and they only are to be found upon this path whom God has saved. You see, this analogy of a path or of a way is to be found all through the scriptures. We've encountered it many times in the prophecy of Isaiah. We can hear the Lord Jesus speaking of it in the New Testament as well, where he describes that narrow way. And he describes that way as having but one entrance to it. There are no alternatives. There is no such a thing as relative or comparative religion. It is fundamentally not true that all roads lead to God. There is but one way spoken of, which is approved by God, and one course, which will bring us at length to heaven, and it is that which he hath decreed, and it which is to be entered by that straight and narrow gate which leadeth unto life eternal. And whilst there are plenty of pretenders to it, and plenty of who attempt to simulate or give an appearance of religiosity, this does not put them upon this path, for this path is the path of the just and them only. But you know, also we might say that this path is called the path of the just because all of God's people come this way. Because all of those whom he saves and to whom he extends his grace in salvation, all will be found upon this same course. Now, my friends, it is true that the people of God, that Christians throughout the world and throughout history have had many different experiences in their lives. The way that they first came to a knowledge of the truth is very different. The way that they were converted is very different. The experiences of their lives thereafter can be very different indeed in terms of the measure of poverty or of plenty which they have enjoyed, or of adversity or of joy, of blessing or of sorrow. Very different from one another are the lives and experiences of Christians. But there are certain fundamental things which they will all have in common. And one of the common themes to the biography of every true Christian is that they will have spent their lives from the time of their conversion upon this path of the just, upon this course of God's appointing, upon this way which commences at that narrow gate and which leads unto life eternal. So here are some reasons why this path is called the path of the just, because it is the path for those who are made just by the saving power of God. They and they alone are upon it, and they all are to be found upon it. But thirdly, let us say concerning this path another detail. It has a commencement. It has a starting point, and of this we have already spoken briefly, but let me enlarge upon it a little further. The path of the just, we are told, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, this second part of the verse has been interpreted in different ways by some of the linguists and commentators, but one way we could understand it is like this. The path of the just, the inspired writer could be saying, is like the light of day, is like the dawning of light which waxes brighter and brighter, which increases by degrees to its zenith at noonday. And that is a way in which we could understand this verse. Now, my friends, we know the course of a morning, let us say, from dawn till noonday. We know something of how it goes. It commences in a state of darkness. It commences, some say, that the hours before dawn are amongst the darkest and coldest of them all. And yet it is at that point when the light begins to dawn. And if we happen to be awake in the small hours and to see the state of things outside, we notice that the horizon begins almost imperceptibly at first to come into view, and there is a certain lightness about the sky which was not there before. This is the commencement of it. This is the beginning of it. And you see, my friends, this path of the just begins like this. It begins in this here and now. It begins at first in a state of darkness and obscurity. It begins where we are found by nature in a condition of darkness and unbelief and sin. And from such an unpromising start as this, from such an unpromising point of commencement, this path which will ultimately bring us to God is to be found. You see, this is the wonder of it, my friends, and the wonder of God's grace, that he does not require us to reach some certain standard first before we are saved. He does not require us to become something that we were not in order to merit or to warrant his salvation or to win his favor. No, my friends, this path which leads to God, the commencement of it, is right where we commence by nature, in a state of darkness and of sin. And yet from such a point as that, in such a place as that, the entrance to this path is to be found, the head of it is to be found, and we, by grace, are set upon it. That is the beginning of this path. That is its commencement. In these present realms of darkness, my friends, in this present evil world, and each one of us who is a Christian this evening can surely testify to this, that God was pleased to save us, that he was pleased to bring us to this way whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we were ungodly, whilst we were yet haters of him and by nature the children of wrath even as others, until God was pleased to work, until God was pleased to put our hands upon that gate that leads to this narrow way that leads unto life eternal. This is where the path begins. But then, fourthly, we are told something else about this path. We are told that this path is attended by light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And something else which this verse is telling us is this, that this path has its own light, that it is a illuminated route. And here is a particularly wonderful thought, my friends. We might say, well, how are we as Christians to maintain the right course through this present world? And how are we to keep to this way which leads unto God in the midst of all the darkness and wickedness of this present life? How shall we keep to the track? How shall we find our way? Well, my friends, this is an illuminated way. This way has light attendant upon it. This path itself is lit. And we know from the practical equivalent, from the earthly metaphor, my friends, how much easier it is to find our way along a path which is illuminated, by a path which has a street light or something of that kind. We can follow it whatever the time of day may be, whatever the conditions of the weather, by virtue of there being lights appointed along that way, we can continue to pursue it and to follow it. And the scripture assures us of this, if we are God's people. It tells us this as Christians, that the path which we are upon radiates light, It is illuminated. It shines in the darkness. And that light, my friends, that source of illumination, we know to be the truth of God's word. The psalmist, of course, takes up that theme in those very well-known words when he says concerning the Holy Scriptures, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The path of the just, my friends, shines with light. It is lit all along its route by the truth of Holy Scripture. And fellow Christian, let me assure you of something. Whatever experiences we may meet with in this present life, whatever twists and turns this path may seem to take, we shall never want for light upon it. We shall never be left in doubt or question as to what is right or wrong for us in the course which we take, so long as we have the Word of God. Because this is that source of light and illumination. This is that which shines upon the road, to borrow the words of the hymn writer, that shines upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. We have light for this way. We have light in the midst of darkness, even as did the Hebrews during that plague of darkness upon Egypt, because this path is shining with it. And this is a wonderful thought indeed. The wisdom of which the writer spoke in the earlier part of this chapter 4 is granted to us. We are given this instruction, verse 13, which we may take hold of, that we may cleave unto, and this is what will keep our steps in the way and ensure that as we go in this path, we shall not stumble. This path is attended with light. Now, fifthly, let me give you another detail concerning this path. This path proceeds upwards by degrees. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, fellow Christian here this evening, perhaps if you have been a believer for any length of time, you might think, well, as I reflect upon my own course and my own experience, and if I were to write my own autobiography as a Christian, I would have to say that the course of my life has had numerous ups and downs. It's had its highs and lows. There have been occasions when I have prospered spiritually and other occasions when I have seemed to be down in the depths or in the doldrums. How can it be true, this verse, and how is this statement true, that the path of the just, that the course of the Christian life, shineth more and more unto the perfect day? Well, my friends, we have the authority of Scripture, which tells us so. And you see, my friends, the fact of the matter is this, that so long as we are the people of God, and as we are Christians, our moments, our lives, as fast as they roll on, bring us nearer and nearer to Him. And whilst viewed from a human perspective and from our own assessment, our lives might be attended with all sorts of ups and downs and oft times perhaps reversals or contrary winds, to use another analogy. Yet in the purposes of God, we are being brought progressively closer and nearer unto Him, whether perhaps we realize it or not. And so very often, it is those adversities, it is those difficulties, it is those times when, like the psalmist, we feel almost like the path is taking us through the valley of the shadow of death, that we are actually being brought closer unto Him. Because you see, God is sovereign over all these events, and God is in control of them, and God is perfecting that which concerneth us, as the Scripture tells us. He is bringing it to its fulfillment. He is bringing it to its fruition. Though we may find it difficult to comprehend ourselves sometimes and difficult to follow it. You see, my friends, if we use again the analogy of the sun progressing from dawn to noonday, maybe there are times when clouds seem to hide the sun. Maybe there are occasions when squalls of rain seem to cross the sky. But the fact of the matter remains that the sun is making progress from its place of rising to its zenith in the noonday sun, in the noonday sky, and so it will. Whatever intervenes or whatever seems to occur in the intermission. Now, my friends, concerning our Christian lives, the fact of the matter is this, that they are leading us, that we are being led upward by degrees. And there are so many verses of Scripture which corroborate this point and which reinforce it, how that God deals with us, line upon line and precept upon precept, as we saw in Isaiah's prophecy in our other study, that God is adding to our knowledge and understanding of him, that God is bringing us by various experiences to a greater comprehension of himself and of his power and his dealings with us. And likewise, there is that wonderful expression in 2 Corinthians, which tells us that we are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God by degrees to the image of the Lord from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how God is working with us. This is the course by which he directs us. He does not take his people from earth to heaven the moment they are saved. He sees fit to leave us upon earth for a season. Well, why does he do that? There are various reasons. But one of the reasons is this, that he might sanctify us wholly, that he might perfect that which pertains to us, that he might prepare us for heaven, that he might bring us unto himself by this way which is described here in our text. This path, my friends, proceeds upwards by degrees. But sixthly, and perhaps most gloriously of all, we can say this, that this path has an end. Now, that this path has a conclusion. It does not go on indefinitely. It does not go on without purpose. It goes on to a point which is in view, to a termination, to an ultimate goal. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Unto the perfect day. Now, what are we to understand by this expression in our verse? You know, there are those who have erroneously imagined that perhaps as Christian believers, they might ultimately attain to some sort of state of spiritual perfection in this present life, that they might somehow be made perfectly holy while they are yet in this present evil world. Well, sad to say that they are mistaken. As long as we are in this life, and as long as we are in these mortal bodies, we are beset with sin and all its consequences and effects. But you see, my friends, our verse is not speaking about arriving in a state of perfection. It does not say that this path leads on unto a place or a condition of perfection in the case of ourselves. It says that it shines more and more unto the perfect day. It is speaking of a time. It is speaking of a place. My friends, it is speaking of the heavenly destination of the Christian. This path began, as we noted, like the light of day in the darkness and obscurity of dawn. That is where it began. It was here in this life that we found admission to that path and the entrance of it. And by degrees, my friends, by this illuminated route, we have been brought nearer and nearer to God and to that ultimate destination of heaven above. And if this light of which we have spoken is the light of instruction, is the light of truth, being unfolded to us and being made known to us through the course of our Christian life, well, we might ask, where is that place where we shall know the fullness of noonday. Where is that place where we shall know a perfection, a completeness, a totality of light? Well, my friends, the scriptures tell us. They tell us that at this present time, we do not see all things perfectly. We do not have complete light. We are not in complete possession of truth. But, my friends, the time is coming when we shall have it and where we shall know it. We see, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see as through a glass, darkly. But then, face to face, now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we ourselves also are known. That fullness of knowledge, that perfection of light, that a perfect or full day is that which awaits the people of God in their heavenly destination, in their eternal abode. And it is a wonderful thought, my friends, contained within the descriptions of heaven in the book of the Revelation, one particular detail that we are told concerning it, that it has no need of the light of the sun nor of the moon. This is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Here is the end which is in view, my friends. This is the destination of this path of the just depicted in our text. It is that fullness of light. It is that perfection of day. It is that place and realm which hath no need of any lesser source of illumination, no planetary bodies to provide any source of light, because there is a fullness of light in the person and being of God and of the Lamb. And my friends, into that fullness of light, you and I as Christians shall ultimately be brought to that realm where there is no darkness. In God, John tells us in his first epistle, there is no darkness at all. Revelation has told us that in that glorious realm there is no night there, but it is that perfect day, and it is the sure conclusion, and it is the certain conclusion of this path of the just, which, fellow Christian, this evening by grace we are upon. The path of the just, which as a shining light shineth more and more unto that perfect day. May we be blessed and helped in our progress upon it for God's glory. Amen. Amen. Let us conclude by singing now the hymn 529. 529. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. The hymn 529. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Amen.